Invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew 25. We're going to look at Matthew 25. Just want to say what a privilege it is to be here and thankful that you guys inviting me back and be part of the missions conference and to see what the Lord is doing in different parts of the world. It touches my heart. I thank the Lord for that. Coming off the mission field was the hardest thing that we ever did. And I'm just thankful to the Lord for being able to minister in Widefield, which is our new mission field. And it's been exciting to see God work there. Four new couples came today to church. Young family of six has been coming. And we're just thankful. And Spanish speakers are coming as well. So we get to use our Spanish. And I can't understand Puerto Ricans at all. So pray for me. Got different kind of Spanish, you know. It is a different kind of Spanish. I would tell you about my Uncle Johnny. My Uncle Johnny used to go around and say, everybody in the world knows me, forget about it. I'm the most famous person in the whole world. And so I got upset and I said, come on, Uncle Johnny. No, not everyone knows. He goes, everybody knows me. I am the most famous person in the world. You heard this one about my Uncle Johnny? I don't know if I told this one here before. If I did, just laugh like you haven't heard it before. So I said, come on, Uncle Johnny, does Pete Rose know you? He says, yeah, Pete Rose and I used to watch him play. He knows me. So we went to Florida, and Pete Rose had a restaurant there, and we're there eating, and Pete Rose looks up and says, hey, Johnny, how you doing? I didn't know you were coming. Let's go out to eat, and we'll have some fun together and all that. I'm like, wow, Pete Rose knows him. I mean, this is incredible. So we go back, and Uncle Johnny's boasting, everybody in the world knows me. I'm the most famous person in the world. Come on, Uncle Johnny, not everybody knows you. Yeah, I said, does the president know you? He goes, Obama, he knows me. So we're off, and Obama's speaking, and he looks out, and he says, Johnny, I didn't know you were coming today. Come on, let's go out and eat afterwards. We'll have some fun. I'm like, man, Obama knows him. I mean, this is crazy. He goes back, everybody in the world knows me. I'm Johnny. Don't worry about it. I said, come on, does the Pope know you? He says, the Pope, we go way back. So we go off to Rome. And the Pope's up there, and he's giving this speech up there, and Johnny looks at me and says, you know, he says, Jeremy, you know what? He doesn't know me. You know, he doesn't see me here. I'm going to go up, put my arm around so you know him, and then I'm going to come back down, and you're going to see that the Pope knows me. So he goes up there, and he puts his arm around the Pope, and somebody next to me, a Japanese tourist, he says, who is that up there? And she goes, I don't know, but I just want to see who's up there with Uncle Johnny. Is that a bad one or what? You heard it, a preacher preached three sermons. First one, he preached 15 minutes. The second one, he preached 45 minutes. The third one, he preached 4 hours and 25 minutes. So the church was a little perplexed, you know, which one's a real sermon? So they asked him. He said, well, you know, the first one, I got up there and I forgot my teeth and I was a little embarrassed, so I got out in 15 minutes. He said, the second one, I grabbed my teeth and I preached the real message. He says, the third one, I made a mistake and grabbed my wife's teeth and I couldn't stop talking. That's not the case in our marriage. It would be the opposite. If she had my teeth, she'd start talking. There was a couple. I'm not going to preach tonight. I just wanted to be. I've always wanted to be a stand-up comic, so. They're celebrating their 40th anniversary and their 60th birthday at the same time. Have you heard this one? And so this fairy angel comes to them and says, so what do you guys want? You know, you're celebrating your 40th anniversary and your 60th birthday, anything you want, you guys can ask for. So the wonderful wife looks at the fairy angel and says, you know what, I've always wanted to travel around the world. Can you give us two tickets for around the world? So she waves her wand and boof, they have two tickets to go around the world. So she looks at the man and says, what do you want? He says, come here, I want to tell you in a year. He goes, I want a wife 30 years younger than I have right now. She waves her wand and boof, the man was 90 years old. Be very careful what you wish for. Well, I'm out of jokes. Let's go to Matthew 25. Do you like that one? I mean, that one you can use. And I got a few more, but I got to, you know, make sure you guys invite me back one day, you know. Matthew 25, we're going to be looking at another parable. And I want to encourage all of us here to realize that we all, if we're saved here today, have something to give to God in His kingdom. In fact, one person wrote, "The saddest words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these is, it might have been. It might have been." It might have been in your life God wanting to use you in such a way, but you just didn't give back to what He gave you. And as we look at this parable, I want you to notice that it's the Lord giving us a responsibility, and then it is us reacting to that responsibility, and then we have a reckoning of what we're going to be before the Lord, and then finally a reward if we do what God would have us to do. I want you to notice in Matthew 25, verse 14, He tells a parable. Now, He says it five times in Matthew 24 and 25, that you do not know the hour that Christ is coming back. You don't know. All these people that think that they know, the guy that wrote the book, 88 Reasons Why Christ is going to Come Back in 1988, and then he didn't come back, and wrote 89 Reasons Why He Didn't Come Back in 88. You don't know the hour. I know the hour. You don't. He's coming back between 8 and 9 a.m. You say, how do you know that, Jeremy? Somewhere in the world, it's going to be between 8 and 9 a.m. I don't know where, but that was a bad one. But you don't know. So we don't know. What is the response to we don't know? Two words, be ready. Be ready. And He tells this parable. First, He tells a parable to 10 virgins, and they need to be waiting for the Lord. And now we need to be in the parable to talents, working for the Lord. You say, what is a talent? It's a sum of money. It was a weight, and it was different. Notice this in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another, how many? 1. So they all don't have the same equal opportunities. One person has said that a talent is worth 20 years of salary. So the first one gets 100 years of salary, the second one gets 40 years, and the third one gets 20. And each one is according to his own what? Ability. God will never give us a task that we cannot handle. And God will give different opportunities to different people. There are some people who can sing, and I praise God for that. There's some people who can do mighty things for God, can start churches on mission fields. And there's other people that are not able to do that. We don't all have the same opportunities. We're all fearfully and wonderfully what? And some more fearful than wonderful. Amen? In my case, a little bit more fearful. But He gives to each one according to their ability. Praise God, He hasn't blown it. He's given us exactly what He wants of us. 1, 5, 1, 2, 1, 1. And immediately He's gone. Now watch the reactions here. Verse 16. The one that received 5 talents went, and what did he do with it? He traded. He started to work. He put it to work. And he made another 5 talents. Here you have the other one with 2, and he gained how many? He doubled it. But the one who received 1 dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He didn't double it. The one that had 5, he put it to work and gained another 5. One that had 2, he put it to work and he gained another 2. But the one that had 1, he dug it and did nothing with it. I remember when that mega memory thing came out on the TV, and you can have a, you know, photographic memory if you buy this. And I bought it. I was in high school at the time. Spent like $160. It killed my savings. I had nothing left. bought the thing, and mega memory. I'm going to have it, you know, memory. And I listened to tape one, and my memory was getting better. And tape two, and you want to know what happened to the thing? I forgot where I put it. There goes that memory, you know what I mean? I put it somewhere. I dug it. I don't know where it is now. This man takes his talent that the Lord has given to him, the opportunities that he had, and he dug it, and he didn't use them. And watch what happens here. It says, after a long time, shows how patient our God is. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Every sermon we hear, every Bible verse that we read, God is adding to those talents that we can use for Him, the opportunities that we have, and one day He's going to hold us accountable for the things that we are doing for Him. And here He comes back after a long time, and He's ready to settle accounts. Now watch this, I love this. Here's where it gets fun, this parable. Verse 20. So the one that received the 5 talents brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you've delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. I remember when my kids started to draw, you know, and pictures and all that, and they would come up to me and say, Daddy, Daddy, look at the picture. And I look at it, what is it? It's very ugly. It's you. Oh, it's beautiful. Here's this guy with the 5 talents, and he says, Lord, look at this. You gave me 5 talents. You literally put them in my hand, and look, I got 5 more. I mean, this is amazing. He's not boasting. He's praising God that he would be used of God and say, look, I got 5 more. You gave me 5. Here's 5 more. Look at the one with 2. The 2 comes running to him as well. He says in verse 22, and the one that received 2 talents said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. I mean, this is incredible. You know what blows my mind? Jump down to verse 25. The one that received 1. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent on the ground. And notice the word after it. Look! There it is! Your 1 talent. I mean, he's excited too. He did nothing. The one with 5 is all excited because he invested and he got 5 more. The one that 2, he invested, he got 2 more. The one with 1 did nothing. And he says, look, there it is, take it. Your 1 talent. He did nothing for God. And yet he was very happy. And that goes to show that there's some people who live their lives and they do absolutely nothing for God. And they're just happy that they're going to heaven. And they're there. And you wonder, is that all you did? Is that was your life? Nothing for him? But I didn't lose anything, so what? What did you do for him? He says here, the one that received 1, he just went to the Lord and said, look, here it is, the one that you got. Do you think that's what God wants of our lives? Now this is important. He gave 1 5, 5 more. He gave 1 2, 2 more. He gave 1 1, 1. Nothing else. I want you to look at the rewards. And we're going to see how the Lord responds to this. The reckoning, and all of a sudden, here comes the rewards. Watch what the Lord does here. This is amazing. Verse 20 again. So the one that received 5 talents brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents before him. So his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's the praise. You are good. Your character is good. You are faithful. You are trustworthy. And notice in verse 22, he says, the one that received 2 talents came back and said, Lord, I got 2 talents. Notice the reward in verse 23. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Same reward. You know what this tells me? It doesn't matter if you start 5 churches, 10 churches, 20 churches. It doesn't matter if you win 10 people, 20 people. All that matters is that we're faithful to God. Same reward. It wasn't that the one that has 50 churches one day in heaven is going to have his own palace, you know, and that's the big missionary. And the little missionary that only had 1 church, poor guy, he's only going to have a little hut in heaven. And he's going to sit there in his little hut, come out every now and then, and maybe get 1 clap. No, the reward's the same. God based our reward on faithfulness. Don't ever miss that. And there are going to be some people who've lived 20 years in the country and never win anyone to Christ and have an amazing reward in heaven. The reward's the same. Notice the praise. You're good. You have character. You're trustworthy. Notice the possibilities. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. You want to know the reward for working for God and doing a good job for God? You want to know the reward for that? More work. Some people say, what is heaven going to be like when we get there? It's not going to be boring. I'm sorry. We're not going to be playing basketball, shooting hoops, and making every shot. Or golfing and hitting everyone in a hole in one. That would be kind of boring in heaven, no? We're faithful to God. Guess what the reward is going to be in heaven? More work. Isn't that great? Don't you want to be faithful to the Lord now? Every other job, you do a good job, you get vacation. With the Lord's work, you do a good job, you get more work. How about that? It's just the reverse here. You've been faithful over a few. I'm going to put you and give you more work, he says here. He doesn't stop there. Not only does he have more possibilities, we see here that he has pleasure. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I want to show you one of my life verses in Acts chapter 20. Would you look at this for a moment? Anybody think serving the Lord is boring? Look at this. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul knew everywhere he was going to go, he was going to suffer. But listen what he says here. Acts 20, verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with what?" Here's the word. "And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He says, "I'm going to serve God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and there is no greater joy than serving our Lord." There's joy. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now watch what happens here. It is terribly revealing what happens to the one who did nothing. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. You have praise. You have more possibilities. You have pleasure. But how about verse 24? Then the one that received one talent came to him and said, 'Lord, I knew you.'" That's a lie. He didn't know God. They say theology doesn't affect you. Oh, yes, it does. You are what you believe. You are what you eat. One person once said, and a theologian, I don't know who it was, he says, "If you eat fat and greasy food, you're going to be a fat and greasy dude." Amen? In my cases. Well, let's keep going. He says, "I knew you." He didn't know God. Look what he calls him. He says, "I knew you were a hard man. You had your arteries. You are hard to please. You couldn't please them. You're a hard man." God's not a hard man. "You're a hard man," he says. "You reap what you have not sown. You don't even deserve for me to work because I know you're going to reap. You're like the Pharaoh who makes us work and then you get the benefits." He's saying, look what he's saying to his master there. "Gathering where you have not scattered your seed." So verse 25, "I was afraid," scared of his master. I don't know why people preach that you have to be scared of God. If he wanted to destroy us, he could in a moment. Be scared of him. We're supposed to revere him, yes. But be scared of God? He says, "I was afraid. That's why I didn't do anything. I was afraid." He said, "There you go. I was afraid." And he goes on to say here in verse 25, "And I hid your talent in the ground." There you have it. What else do you want? Remember the one got praise? Remember the one got possibilities? Remember the other one got pleasure? Watch what happens to this one. Look at his praise. There is none. He says to him, "You are a wicked and lazy servant. You're against what God would want, and you're slothful. You didn't do what God would want." He says, "You knew that I would reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to deposit my money with the bankers at the coming, and I would have received back with my own interest." All God is looking for is the least here. I love now when I get that statement from the bank at the end of the year, "You gain $10 in interest." Amen. You know what I mean? Now the interest rates are so low, you gain like 2 pennies after it's all done. You know, used to be really nice. Now you get back $10. God says, I would have been happy if you just did the least for me. But he didn't even do that. He's not looking for us to do great things. Just be faithful in the least. He says to him in verse 28, not only did he have not praise, there goes his possibilities in verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Can you imagine? You know what this tells me? God doesn't need us. Be very careful with thinking that God needs us. I remember one missionary saying, we were a bunch of missionaries at the table. He says, Argentina, we're the only hope for Argentina. We weren't the only hope for Argentina. God didn't need us. He's like the grandmother who's making cookies and the grandkid comes up and says, Grandma, can I help you make cookies? You know what that entails? A big mess. And all of a sudden, the cookie dough is everywhere, and the chips are everywhere, and the cookies get made. She didn't need the grandchild, but she wanted to use the grandchild. The same thing with God. He doesn't need us, but he would use us. And when we don't want to be used, he'll send someone else. When we don't want to witness to that person, he'll get somebody else to go witness to that person. When we don't want to serve him in the church, well, he'll get somebody else. We don't have to manipulate. We don't have to try. He'll just get somebody else. We don't want to participate. He'll get somebody else. And there's one that's working. Give it to him. Let him do it. He says, give it to the one. So there goes his possibilities. And notice this here. In verse 29. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has an abundance. But from he who does not have, even what he will be taken away. In verse 30, this is amazing. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of what? All right, now before you get scared, God's not going to send you to hell if you don't serve him. Although that'd be fun preaching. You know what I mean? I mean, imagine that. You know what I mean? You don't want to serve him, you're headed to hell. Amen? How do you like that for 5 minutes? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell, hell. That's what you're going to get. That's not true. But I will tell you this. You will come to the end of your life with a lot of regret. A lot of regret. My father was a bodybuilder. Some of you may remember that. He also was a heroin addict. He used to stick needles in his arm, and because he did that, he caught HIV. I watched my father go from 200 pounds of pure muscle to about 70 pounds in the hospital. I remember I made a lot of promises when he was dying. We did a lot of crying together. I promised to name my first son after him. I didn't even have a girlfriend. That was faith. I said, if I ever get married one day, I'm going to name my first son after you, Dad. I remember him crying and saying to me, Jeremy, I wasted my whole life. He said, but you don't do it. There's going to be, at the end of his life, there was a lot of regret, a lot of remorse. Lord's saying here, serve me with all your heart, soul, and mind. There's going to be praise. There's going to be more possibilities. There's going to be pleasure. And we're not going to come to the end of our lives and say, what in the world did I live for? That's the whole point of the parable. Be ready and do something for God. You say, but what do I have? Well, you may be that one that has 5 incredibly amazing possibilities to serve God, and he may bring you to another field. And that's amazing. You may be the one with 2 who doesn't get those possibilities, but you could do something right there. You may be the one with 1. Who knows who you are? But whatever you are, use what you have for God. And serve him with all that you have. I love the story of the man that tells the imaginary story of talking to God. And he said to God, I'd like to buy that pearl. You hear this one? And God looked down and said to him, it's pretty expensive. Well, how expensive is it? I want it. Well, how much you have? Well, I got a couple hundred thousand in the bank. Well, I'll take that. What else you have? And the guy goes, well, I mean, he took all my bank money. I mean, what else do you have? You got any money in your pocket? Yeah, I got about $200. Well, I want that too. What else? He says, well, you got all my money. What else do you want? He says, well, where do you live? Well, I live in a house. Well, I want that. What else? He says, if you take my house, I got to live in a camper. Oh, you have a camper? I want that too. You mean I got to live in my cars? Oh, you have cars? How many? Two. I want them too. What else? He says, well, you got my money, you got my camper, you got my cars, you got my house. What else more do you want? Are you alone? No, I have a family. I have four kids. He goes, I want those too. What else? He says, you've got everything I have. He goes, oh, I almost forgot something. I also want you. And then he says this, I'm going to give them all back to you. But I want you to know who owns them. They're all mine. And I can take them away any moment I want. Do you realize nothing you have is yours? It's all God's. And he can take it away any moment he wants. So why not use what he gave to you for his glory and invest it into his kingdom? And one day we will stand before him. Forget about what churches say about you or your friends say about you. One day we'll be before him. And we can hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. I'm going to give you some more. Little? I mean, that was a lot. You asked to be in there. Here's some more. Come into the joy of my kingdom. That's a life. That's worth living. And so God put your neighbor into your life so that you would invest. He brought you to this church so that you would serve him and give him your all. He puts you in these places and he gives you things so that you can invest it in his kingdom and live for him. And one day he's coming back. And we don't know when that is. But we live to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Are you living for him? Are you giving him the little you have for his honor and glory? I thank the Lord that there's some who are willing to go and some would go into the army and some that would amazingly learn another language. I praise the Lord for that. But remember, you got something to give too. And don't just look at them and say, boy, look at them being used of God. What can he do with my stuff? He can use you. I remember we went to Chicago on this soul-winning thing, and there was just this guy that was with him. He's called Deacon Dave. Deacon Dave was probably the most introvert, the person, he didn't want to talk to anybody. He was weird, you know. He'd just walk around like this. And so we're walking in Chicago, and Deacon Dave's with me. And he's just a weird guy. And what he does is he just looks at somebody and he says, can I talk to you about Jesus? He can't even look him in the eye. Can I talk to you about Jesus Christ and how he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again? I walked away. I said, man, if God can use Deacon Dave, who doesn't even like to be around people, who was sitting there, couldn't even look at people, witnessing to everybody that God put in his path, he can use me. And he can use you because you have something to give to him.